Welcome to Send and Sending, a podcast on Christian missions. I'm Jordan, a Christian with a passion for missions, and I just want to find a way to share that with the world. And I hope that this podcast will be a resource for my fellow Christians to inform and inspire them to missions and to pursuing the Great Commission. Joining me today, I've got Dr. Daniel Racer, an alum of the Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
He's a pastor of my church, Faith Baptist Church Claymore, and a co-host of the Rookies Podcast. A little shout out for you there. Also, I have Dr. Brett Rogers. He has served in pretty much every vertical of ministry, right?
I've done several different things for sure.
That's an understatement, I feel like.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah, you
know?
Daniel sent me a brief list last night, but you're currently the senior pastor at Harbor Church in Ooliga. And you founded that church, correct? Established it. And you're also the missions director for the Rogers Baptist Association.
Yes.
Cool. Thank you guys for joining me. I'm excited to have a conversation about missions. To kick it off, so what are your guys' kind of experience with missions? Kind of what have you done? Have you served as a missionary?
Yeah, I've never been a paid missionary. My first experience with missions was in high school. And doing trips to South Texas. And what we used to do is youth choir tours and, some of those things. And then I got into, I did a short stint with what was in, I guess, the Home Mission Board, in which essentially is North American Mission Board now, as a summer missionary in college. I was a BCM director, what used to be Baptist Student Union. So I was always taking mission trips. I took college students to multiple places, multiple trips, and also have had some church experience in missions as well. So taking groups as well. So
my mission experience has been a lot of overseas. I had a chance to go to Brazil, ran into my senior year of high school, and I've been back 5 times now, I think, in different capacities. Mostly the main project is building a chapel, but I am not construction oriented. So I would bring a soccer ball and just play soccer with people around and get opportunities to share the gospel and talk with kids about Jesus. And I've done some more stateside stuff, been to Louisiana in the summertime, which was a terrible idea. Went to Colorado, did some stuff in a nursing home. It was really fun. So a lot of this short-term mission trip stuff for me.
My history on missions, I got started in mission. I think I was in middle school. I went on just some short-term stuff to like just OKC, helping out like food bank, just kind of just manual labor mission trip stuff. Did the same thing in Joplin. First event, I would say evangelical mission trip, we went and shared the gospel, kind of learned how to share the gospel, was up in Chicago. And since then, I've been to Texas a couple times, down to Dallas and Houston, been on several international trips to Nicaragua, Honduras, Africa, Brazil this last summer, hopefully to Toronto this next year, right? So as pastors, lead pastors, how do you lead your church missionally and kind of encourage that and equip the church for that? Like, how do you do that as a pastor?
I think the best way, at least for me, is we give folks local opportunities to experience mission. And I think that's the best way to, open somebody's eyes, to it, with the goal eventually. In fact, in 2025, one of our big deals is going to be trying to get everybody to do something they've never done before. Go somewhere, get out of your comfort zone, do something maybe that you've never done. But I think what helps to get that started, again, is doing something more locally. We're really involved in our school. We do and have done projects outside of the church. We're doing Impact Kids, which is a weekly ministry in the school for like first grade through fourth grade at Ooliga schools. And we're partnering with another church in doing so. So we're actually helping another church get an idea of being mission-minded, getting involved in the community. But again, I think that if you do that locally, it's like you guys here at your church, you have the Good Samaritan, ministry. It's just right with you. It's built in. So you guys, kind of get that, don't you?
Yeah. I think I've stolen several ideas from you in my short time here at Faith Baptist, and I feel like that's another good one this year, is to try to encourage people to do something they've never done before.
Yeah.
I think for me, when it comes to like leading mission pastorally, I try to help my people understand that there's a difference between mission and missions. And I think the mission is the big one, is that God is on a mission to seek and to save the lost. And then missions is how we kind of fit into that. And so I want my people to be mission-minded, that everything we do is part of God's mission as a church. But then we can also emphasize, have these special focuses for like short-term mission trips or getting involved in schools or different things. So I think it's helping them get the theology of what the mission is, and then helping them learn where they fit within that. Because some people are called, as we've all been able to experience, like short-term mission trips and the great benefit those are. Some people are called to a lifetime of missions and being overseas. But I think a lot of our church members are called in the day in, day out, how can I participate in missions when I go to work, when I go to school, and just as a pastor trying to cultivate that and help people understand what God's doing in his creation through his church.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you are a Jerusalem person, it's getting them to see the uttermost parts of the earth as well. You know what I mean? It's like, I think we get comfortable in the way we're wired, and I understand we all have different giftedness and those kinds of things. We're all supposed to be sharing the gospel. Obviously that's the mission. Mm-hmm. But I think that's where it starts. And I guess where we're at is maybe trying to get out of that box a little bit this year, you know? So
it's good.
Yeah. I mean, the comfort zone thing, I think, is the biggest thing. Like, that was one thing that was drilled into me when I was in youth group, was getting out of your comfort zone. They always were like getting comfortable being uncomfortable, like getting used to the feeling of being uncomfortable. Something that I try to do and have not done so well these last few months. You know, I feel like it's one of those things, you always go through like seasons of pushing yourself out, and then you get comfortable for a little bit, and then you have to like, oh, I'm getting too comfortable.
Well, it's interesting. We just got back from Mexico 2 weeks ago, I've done border ministry for a long time, even since collegiate work. The first question I get asked is, were you safe? You know, did you feel unsafe? And it's all about that,
yeah.
You know? And it's like, you talk about uncomfortable. I would say most of our folks, they're probably not going to make that trip just because of that factor in and of itself, the safety part of being uncomfortable, getting out of your comfort zone in the sense of being safe or not safe, you know? So that's a struggle for a lot of folks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that's one of the things that we see a lot in youth ministry and missions now. Is it's hard to, I mean, as I've talked with our youth pastor here, it's hard to figure out, like, what are we going to be able to take our students to do? Like, what will the parents allow their students to go on and to do? And I think that's something that you have to wrestle with a lot more today than, like, when I was growing up in youth, it was like, yeah, good, you're with the church, go on a mission trip.
Jump on a bus, join the choir, and go do some mission work.
Exactly. Hey, no, knock it.
I mean, it's effective. When we were in Brazil, we had the bus choir, and the guy said, if you're on the bus, you're in the choir, and if you're in the choir, you're going to sing at church. And so that's what we did.
I love it.
It was so much fun.
Oh, man.
But I think I want to touch on this real quick. I mean, I think that when we have the right understanding of who we are in God's kingdom, but the idea that my life is not my own, it's okay to go on some risky mission trips. I want to say that if I truly believe that God is sovereign and he's king and he's got me, like, am I really willing to risk not just the comfort of here, but am I willing to risk my life in the potentially risky situation? I mean, we put your money where your mouth is sometimes, you know?
Well, scripture says we will be persecuted.
Yeah.
You know, and that persecution might look a little different for us in this context, but it's an interesting topic in and of itself.
Sure.
You know? So everything, are you guaranteed 100% youth, you know, mom, that everything is going to be okay? There's no way, you know. But then again, you know, there's places in, you know, Dallas or OKC that I don't really want to drive through, you know, at the wrong time of the day. So anyway,
yeah, there's a responsibility to it.
Yeah, absolutely. With encouraging people to go on these mission trips this next year, you know, both of you have expressed wanting to get your congregation to try something new, get uncomfortable. What have you seen the impact or the change when you have taken someone or a group as a church on mission trips. What do you see change in the individual and in the church as a whole when they're actively engaged and excited about missions?
I'll say for me, just a lot of my experience, like I said, has been going to Brazil, and I've only gone a couple times as a pastor in that role. But one of the great benefits as a pastor bringing some of my church members is that the mission trip, while yeah, it is to share the gospel with the people that are there, I think the people that go on the trip have an incredible spiritual growth during the time they're there, because the perspective they receive, just understanding how blessed we are being in the Bible Belt to have the gospel surrounding us. And when they go, they begin to see people who don't know who Jesus is, don't know the name of Jesus, don't know the story, don't know the Bible at all. And I think they develop a deeper appreciation for what they already have, but then also just an urgency to go again, to tell more people. And so I think that the mission trips, short-term mission trips, are great for the place you're going impacting, but it's also incredibly significant for that individual. And I think the more people that you can take on those trips, the more people that go and broaden their perspective, it's going to help the whole church catch a vision. Because when they come back and they get up and they always do the mission reports or something on Sunday morning, they're just talking about how God did this, and their life has changed. But for someone who's never been, it's hard to really wrap your mind around what they're saying. It's hard to truly grasp, because you can't communicate what it's like to look a kid in the eyes and share the Jesus for the first time, and then to see them make that profession of faith after hearing the gospel a single time. And I think the more people that go, the easier it is for the church to catch a vision.
Sure.
And that's why we want to take a bunch of people.
Yeah. And I think there's a much greater chance to get a student on a mission trip than there is adult. Obviously, adults with the PTO and the challenges, all the challenges that we have as adults, it's hard to go halfway around the world or even, you know, wherever it may be. So getting that student there, and I say that to say, that is the greatest impact. When they get up and share, yeah, if they do that and experience that, when they become an adult, they're going to understand it as well. It's going to affect their adulthood if we can get them there at a younger age. It totally changed my life as a junior in college, sophomore, when I went to Brownsville, Texas, and counseled with a First Baptist Church Dallas youth. I'll never forget this, about the impact. In tears, this person was realizing poverty, had never seen poverty, a very wealthy church from, you know, Dallas that had come down, and then we were working with. And then I always talk about this, and I still pray for a little guy, I'll never forget him, cutest little kid from Brownsville, Texas. His name is Benito, and I still pray for Benito periodically, because I got to share with him, this little kid, that summer, and it impacted me so much. As a 60-year-old man, I still think about this kid and pray for him often.
Yeah. I mean, I have honestly kind of similar. My first evangelical trip, when I went to Chicago, I think it was just the first person I ever shared the gospel with. I used the little Evangel Cube. We were doing a VBS, and I was just playing basketball with this kid and just having a conversation with him. His name was Moses. And I was asking him, I was like, you go to church? You go to church around here? He's like, yeah, I've gone to church my whole life. It's like, do you know who Jesus is? He's like, huh? And this kid's like 10, 11 years old, going to church his whole life, had no idea who Jesus was. And that was crazy to me, that someone can go to church their whole life and not hear about Jesus. And so I shared the gospel with him, and he made a profession of faith. And so I still think about him pretty often. I'll see something in my room or whatnot, and I'll be like, oh yeah, Moses. And so I have a very similar situation in that. But so you talked about the change in coming back. I notice, you know, you're on fire for a little bit, you know, the perspective changing, you come back. How do you keep that? Because I lose it all the time. I go on a trip and I'm on fire for a couple weeks, but I feel like you lose the practice. So how is a church, as a pastor, can we help keep that going when you get back, and encourage, you know, I think sharing the gospel here and making people more mindful of it. You know, we go on mission trips and it's a little bit easier to share the gospel because that's your mindset going into it. How do we encourage and keep people with that same mindset here, stateside?
Yeah, the only thing I found, of course, we do it in our teaching, the preaching ministry and encouragement in that way, but is actually having opportunities, giving them for me, organized opportunities in which they can do that. I'd say organized. I know we want to make it a lifestyle. I agree 1,000,000%. But what we can do is we can open up a coffee shop downtown Ooligah, give them opportunities to serve, and understanding that every time there's a community event in downtown where we live, our coffee shop's going to be open. You have an outlet there to serve at, a place just to mobilize, to just be the hands and feet of the Lord, to go out and just share the gospel in and through it, like a community ministry like that, or be involved in Impact Kids, you know, after school on Tuesdays. So those kinds of things, I think, that keep it fresh. There's other ideas as well. We've never done this, but I'm not even ever heard of this, but have you ever heard of a workplace mission trip?
No, I don't think so.
First Baptist Owosso, they have a lay person that's developed a really neat program, really neat system to teach it. You can actually experience and have a mission trip in the workplace for either a week or a couple weeks period, where, and then they gather back in the evenings and talk about their experience. I've never experienced, never been through the training, but again, that would be a great way, if you were to purposely get people to, in their context, give them an opportunity to share the gospel, train them up, and be encouraged in that way. Yeah, so
that's really cool. So with encouraging your church to go on trips over this next year, what are some challenges that you see facing churches in taking trips, getting their congregation involved in trips? You know, not every congregation has someone that's gifted in leading trips or organizing trips. So how would someone in a church that doesn't have those resources, or a church that's interested in getting more involved, how would you go about giving them advice and getting started in missions?
We have this great blessing as Southern Baptist called the Southern Baptist Convention, Oklahoma Baptist, or very locally, Rogers Baptist Association. We had the Rogers Baptist Association Mission Forum about a month ago, and it was an opportunity that Brett coordinated with several other churches where we came together at one church and gave opportunities for different churches to say, here's who our church is. Here's the mission trip we're going on. If you want to come with us, come on. And I think just the association of churches is such a blessing as a Southern Baptist, because just as you described, like, my experience in doing mission trips has been attending but never leading. And so could I lead a mission trip? Probably. I could fumble my way through it. Or I could just call him and say, hey, I've got 5 guys that want to go. I don't know what I'm doing. Can we go with you? And he says, yeah, here's the dates, here's the cost, here's the times, let's go. And so it's incredible opportunity that we have to join with other churches that have people that know what they're doing. And I think that pastors, we can't be too prideful to not say to other pastors, will you help me? Can we partner with you? Can you help my people fulfill the Great Commission? Like, that's what we have to be able to say. And so I think it's so good for churches to partner together for the sake of the gospel and to go on mission trips together. Because not only does it provide mission trips for the individuals going, but it builds camaraderie between churches. It lets us look at Harbor Church and be like, man, you remember the time we went and spent a week with our people? And it grows your affection for the people of God as you're doing the mission of God together. So small plug for Rogers Baptist Association, all the good things
for associations in general, honestly.
Yeah. And I think, and that's one way, again, there's networking going on the side as well between churches, which is fantastic, and or partnering mission organizations other than Southern Baptist for that matter.
Yeah.
But there's just so many ways. It's like Good Samaritan here on your campus. There's so many churches that support that particular ministry, which is the outpost is here on your campus. But we're all partnering together to get the work done. All the Jerusalem opportunities, which were represented in that lobby at First Baptist a month ago that we had there, that went on to Judea and Samaria and then the rest of the earth. Again, I got a call 2 days ago from the First Baptist International Mission Leader who said that Cambodia is open. There's a couple trips being organized right now in June to go to Cambodia. I'm just giving you a heads up. And it was already in our brochure that we passed out a month ago, but he's going to give us more specifics, and that they're open. And so we can get that little church, Washington Baptist Church, out here in the sticks or First Baptist Foyle or wherever it may be, the people that normally can't go on a trip, they can find the conduit to get there. So
awesome. So you've been doing missions for a while. So what changes have you seen in the general approach to missions? And how how has your change or your approach to mission personally changed as for the length of time you've been doing missions?
Oh, I don't know if my approach has necessarily changed so much. The big concerns, I think you mentioned that before in that other question too, are the challenges that missions presents itself in the modern context. But what for us the transportation has done is it's helped us, and then affordability is it fluctuates, it changes. For instance, if you're going to Cambodia, if you're going to Japan, it's expensive. I mean, it's really expensive to go, but there's some places you go that aren't so much. As far as who we're partnering with right now in Toronto, the reason why we chose Toronto was affordability and the ease of getting across the border. Yeah. To reach the maximum numbers of different people groups in one area. And that's probably why you went to Chicago as well. Chicago is the same thing. You can, wherever people are gathered, we work at Solex University in Chicago, and it was a place where people were trained in the English language from, they had 35, 40 different countries represented in that university. Same concept at the dealing with universities in Toronto. It's the same thing. We're reaching people from all over the world. So when they hear the gospel, receive the gospel, take it back to their country, whenever they go back to be successful by earning a degree, you know, in North America, you know,
So the opportunity is not just, you don't have to go on an international trip to reach the nations, find where the nations are coming here, minister there, disciple there so that they can go back and do that when they return home. Yeah, that's awesome. What are some of the keys to a successful mission trip? Like, if you're going to take a trip, what are some things that you need to be successful on that trip?
I want to hear from you.
Oh, I've been talking.
No, this is great.
Well, no, I think you got to be ready. You have to obviously prepare people. And that's what happened on this last trip. We had all the preparation was there for us. We had some events occur that didn't get us to get through the material that we needed to even before we got there, which slowed us down then once we got there. Seth, the guy that was training us up, he had to really, we weren't quite where we needed to be when we entered Toronto, you know? So I think preparation's a big deal. I think a lot of times in my past, I've gotten a little lax in that. I didn't get quite as forthright in, you need to attend this meeting, you need to read this, you need to have this preparation done, whatever it may be. And which, again, I think sometimes we as missionaries, we depend on the flexibility issue way too much, that we lean on that and say, oh, well, I'm just going to get there and be flexible, and I'm not really ready. So I would say that's the biggest tip for me is just being ready, you know?
So how do you get ready? What does that preparation look like? Yeah. As a leader, but also preparing the people to go, what are the key steps to be ready to go on a trip?
Well, the one I would just suggest for this latest trip, because it's such a good example, was we were learning, and he was using the three circles method of evangelism in the context in which he serves. So he provided us specific training on how he did the three circle method. So we were to learn that and actually practice at Roger State at your campus. It never happened. It never happened. And again, for me, that's specifically what we needed to do for that trip that we didn't do. So when we got there, it probably put us about a day behind. You know, and the folks that were my students and our leaders, we just weren't really quite as prepared in that aspect. And for that trip, we knew that's what we would be doing. There was no flexibility needed. We will be going down the halls. We'll be, you know, doing this and that and meeting these students. So there was no room for, you know, we needed to get prepared.
I think part of the reason, maybe like in that aspect, that we don't take the preparedness and readiness as serious as we should, is we have this false sense of security that I've been in church a long time. I can share the gospel.
Yeah.
That's easy. I can do that. And then when it comes time that you're just like, oh, I don't know, where do I begin? What do I do? And so like part of what we've talked about here at Faith is whenever it comes to going on a mission trip, like we're going to require one of our equip classes that's 6 weeks long that's going to be over evangelism or missions, just to get your head and your heart in the right place. But then, as you said, having some practical opportunities to go to a college campus already and to share the gospel in that way, it already gives you a sense of like, I've done it here, I can do it there.
Yeah.
It'll be a different setting environment, but it's still the same presentation. I think just getting the people's the head right, your heart right, and then just the ability to share the gospel. Like, that's something we just kind of take for granted sometimes. I often talk to my people, like, when it comes to your kids playing sports, like, if you want to be a good pitcher, you're going to go out and practice your fastball, your curveball. You're going to go throw thousands of pitches because you want to be good at that, right? We want to be good at sharing the gospel, don't we? So why don't we practice it?
Yeah.
Why don't we go out and practice the thing that we're supposed to be doing? We just take for granted that we're going to be fine at it.
So you have to be purposed with about that. Yep. I think, too, along with that is getting together with your team a little bit more, you know, praying together and prep, you know, being prepared. And so you're not just learning, you're getting to know each other on the plane. You know what I mean? So, and that's what happened, too, I think, in our context. It's like this trip we've been talking about, maybe going to Canada over, you know, spring break, is it would behoove us to probably get together a few times, you know, before we go.
Yeah.
So
I think you might have kind of mentioned it, like getting together and praying, but I think an important part of like the preparation probably is the spiritual, making sure you're praying for it. You're like spiritually prepared to go, because missions is hard. It's exhausting. And I think so, like spiritually preparing yourself, making sure you're already spending time in the Word, is going to be a lot easier to sleep in a little bit extra on the trip and miss that time and things like that. So we talked about preparation, being prepared. So when you go, what are some of the keys to, I know every trip's probably like a little bit different, but so you want to be prepared. But then when you get there, what are some of the key things that people need to be preparing or looking out for while you're there?
Well, the big one is flexibility. I mentioned it a while ago. Sometimes we lean on that too much in advance, but definitely when you get there, you have to be. I can't tell you the number of times I had a student or somebody, you know, as a leader, can, you know, come up to me and say, "Brett, you know, what are we doing? Are we gonna, when are we leaving? What is, you know?" And you're on the time of, in the context in which you're, where you're at. So, and we know this, that there are some of our brothers and sisters across this world that operate in a different time frame. And so you've just got to kind of get into that. I went to Australia on a sports evangelism trip. It was an amazing trip, pre-Olympics in 2000. And we really struggled with it. I took some very hyperactive college athletes on this trip, and man, they wanted to go. And the pastor who was leading us during that 2 weeks was saying, relax, you know, calm down. And so I think that's a big one. So
I think I'm just part of that. Every mission trip I've ever been on has had unforeseen things come up. And so I think the more work you can do before you go, just to get your heart, as you said, spiritually ready, but then also just getting your heart flexible, that you have expectations of what this trip is going to be like. It's not going to be that.
Yeah.
Every trip you go on, the expectations change when you get there. Because you can have a vision in your mind of what this place is going to look like, what it's going to be like, what you're going to do, and you get there and you're just like, oh, this is what it's like.
Right.
And so just being able to adjust. But that's part of just going to a different location. Sometimes we're talking about international, a different country, a different culture. So making your heart prepared for it. And then when you get there, having the proper focus throughout the whole trip. Like whatever the goal of the trip is. As I said, one of the main focuses that I went on to Brazil many times was doing that chapel project. And so throughout the week, focusing on that project. And I said I didn't do a whole lot of construction, but understanding I didn't know how to like mud, I didn't know how to do this, but I could carry some cinder blocks. And so just making sure like that was a priority when it came to evangelism and soccer stuff, like that was getting my full attention. And so just making sure that while you're there, you're still mission-minded while you're there, like with what's happening. Being in that moment and giving it your full attention. Because it can be really easy to get caught up in the culture and the sightseeing. And I'm sure we've all seen or heard people that do the vacation mission trips that you just get to go and sightsee too much. But keeping the proper perspective of why you're there and who you're ministering to is significant.
Yeah. thank you for joining me, guys. It was a great conversation. That was a lot of fun. So appreciate you guys joining.
Thanks for the invite.
Awesome.
Do more missions.
Yeah.